When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Hootie hoo, Glamour Girls. It's Sam here with a quick reminder that we are going on tour. That's right. A podcast can go on tour to Now I've Seen Everything. We are going mid-August to mid-September, and we are going to Boston, Philadelphia, DC, Minneapolis, Chicago, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, California. So if you live in any of those cities, get tickets now. You can go to our Instagram bio. The link is linktree.com/Radiolab. We are so excited to see you all out there on the damn road. We're road dogs now. Okay, enjoy the episode. XOXO, Sam. Podcast starts now. Hello, America and the rest of the world. And welcome to Radiolab.
And from all of us here at iHeartMedia, I want to say TGIF.
Hey, I know it may be Tuesday where you are. It may be Wednesday where you are. It may be Thursday where you are. But where we are, it's Friday.
I want to say if you're a real fan, you are listening to this on a Tuesday morning. And to you, I say take a second this morning and just let it be Friday.
I think
it's a state of mind.
The thing is, George, I fully disagree with you.
Wow. I'm saying, you know, anyone has the right to self-determine however they want. You're saying, no, you're either born a Tuesday or a Friday. Expand on that.
So you know how, like, I'm starting to believe more and more in, like life's inevitabilities. And I think, like, a weekday, even when you're, like, having the day off work or whatever, like, work, like, you know, whatever it is you're up to, when it's a Monday, you feel like it's a Monday. When it's a Tuesday, you'll be like, you know what, this Tuesday, maybe I'm at the beach. But there's still a level of stress where you're like, but it's Tuesday. And at any moment, I could be called in to perform a surgery.
Totally.
And it is just, maybe it's me. I'm willing to.
You know what it is?
Something personal?
It's the emails. It's that emails come into your inbox in normal business hours, Monday through Friday. And it doesn't matter if you're an avant-garde performance artist. That is when the emails are coming. That is when the emails are coming from your gallerist. That is when the emails are coming from your cousin inviting you to her, you know, bachelorette party. There is no way around the fact that no matter how alternative you are, the emails come during the week.
So much of my life has been trying to not adhere to a normal schedule.
Of course.
It has been, I'll work at night. I'll do something on the week. I'll have fun on a Tuesday and make up for it on a Saturday. No, it never works. I feel bad. I'm going against nature and people think I'm being lazy.
Right.
And it's like, there's simply no way around it. You have to, I'm telling every listener, conform. Mm-hmm. Conform to the work week. Start at 9 a.m. and at 6 p.m.
You know what I always think?
And then get dinner at
7. Along those lines is like, so often, you know, I work better at night, and so often I will be like, I'll have a deadline, let's say, and I'll be up at night working, and then that will cause me to wake up later the next morning. Now, of course, my romantic partner is waking up earlier. Mm-hmm. I wake up, I feel the need to basically say, by the way, I worked last night. That's why I'm getting up now. Just by the way, in case anyone was wondering, I worked last night. And then suddenly you're starting at a disadvantage because already you are trying to justify what? Your own existence? As though you're not human because you woke up at 10:30?
Oh my God. The way that people that have jobs that simply are from 9 to 6 get to be lazy all day and still get the credit of having worked all day. Meanwhile, I'm getting emails literally all the time. Mm-hmm. No one's giving me credit for that.
Yeah.
The emails are such a stress on me and my psyche. And it's like, I just have to put up with it.
It's crazy. The noise is difficult to drown out, quite frankly.
And
if you're a professional and you're sending me an email, that's noise to me because it's not art.
I've started to even give up on the concept of vacation.
Wow.
Because you can't take a vacation from emails.
No.
The internet is still there and it's still arriving.
By the way, people say, oh, you can't finish a book because you're addicted to your phone. That's not true. I can't finish a book because of all the emails. And that is not my fault for being like addicted to my phone. That is, in fact, your fault for sending me emails. Most of the notifications I get on my phone are not because I'm like following some YouTuber. They're, first of all, the New York Times trying to like get money from me even on the weekend, and then they are notifying me about something in the style section. I'm sorry. If it's not a war, I don't want to hear about it on a Saturday morning.
This is my pitch. AI, how about you be useful and combine all my emails into one email every day at 5 p.m. A digest, and I'll just respond.
What's going on with Sam?
Yeah, what's going on with my career?
Yeah, I would actually love a daily digest of what's going on with my career. That would solve so many problems.
And if it's like, no, you literally, like, if every day it was like, well, just are you free Wednesday at 5? I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
And then it would be like, okay, and then it's done. I can't deal with it.
And by the way, government-funded assistance, when are we getting that? Why don't I have a spunky girl named Rachel, spelled weird, maybe with a Y, that is my assistant, and I don't have to pay her. But she still gets health insurance and makes money.
Why don't I have Rachel?
There should be, I think I've maybe honestly already said this on the podcast, but in the same way that other countries have mandatory military service, there should be 1 year where your mandatory service is being a struggling writer performer's assistant and the government pays you and it's a way to pay your dues before college. It's a gap, yeah.
I think that's genius. I kind of love watching the workday. Like every day I'm like, okay, I have 8 solid hours to do whatever I want. And then it's like, now it's 7 hours. And
oh,
it's like,
please. The way the workday is a total of maybe 45 minutes. Like the morning doesn't count because you're having breakfast. Then it's lunch. And then after that, well, you're tired.
It's the most insane thing. And I'll be like, okay, I have 1 hour left. Let's really bring it home.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll spend 30 minutes of that hour looking in my Google Drive for any document that could possibly be added to.
No, I think pretty much it's 11:45 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. is like the 45-minute period where you sort of work. Because you're like, well, I can't go into lunch having done nothing.
Yeah.
Then, of course, lunch lasts approximately 3 hours. I mean, you have to digest for it to be over. And then by that time, you're like, okay, well, if I was in Spain, I would have my siesta now. But I guess since I'm in this uber capitalist society, I have to send more fucking emails.
Yeah. So I guess where we are, it's Friday.
Yeah, but where we are, it is actually Friday.
And not to mention, it's 2:52 on a Friday, which is actually basically 7 p.m.
It's basically 7 p.m. We're basically drunk.
We're doing overtime.
We're doing cocaine. We're doing lines of cocaine off of this table at iHeartMedia. And along with our good friend, who is on upwards of 15 different drugs right now, please welcome Mary Beth Barone.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, Mary Beth.
What an electric opening conversation. I had so many thoughts as you were talking, but I've forgotten them all because of all the drugs.
Because of all the drugs.
So just know that I was with you all the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think ultimately it's capitalism. If I had to put a word on it, like label it, which I know we don't want to do anymore.
No,
but it's capitalism. It's society.
Well, yeah,
it's society.
To put a label on a financial system just feels so.
It feels wrong.
Wrong.
It's not right.
It can be whatever it wants.
We're putting it in a box.
Exactly.
In a way. Exactly. And then there's no room to grow.
Yeah.
And I think that's our problem right now.
So true.
We're so stuck in this box.
You know, thinking systemically, it's so. Then you're like, what's the point of me reading this article about like a specific industry? It's all the same problems.
It's the same problems.
It
is. I mean, look at us now in this industry. And then you have Walmart, which I recently saw a video about.
Oh my
God. That's a really good point.
Congrats on that, by the way.
So you have our industry and our industry, Walmart.
And then others.
And then others.
And not to mention
and
others.
The Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve.
Oh, wait. I met someone recently.
Who works at the Federal
Reserve. No, and I was like, what do you do? And they were like, chemical engineer. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this.
Oh, wow.
Well, have you ever just met someone that's like completely different from you? And you're like, okay.
Well, it's like, what's your pay structure?
Yeah.
Like, how does that work? Who's your boss?
It's like, what? Yeah. Like, what? So,
is it the president?
Let's start at 9 a.m.
Right.
What are you up to?
What's your day?
Is it emails?
Are you at NASA? Are you working in the White House?
Do you have an assistant? Like, what's going on?
Are they federally funded? Yeah. Are you federally funded?
Are you
federally
funded?
Like, who's
like,
paying? I want to know everything.
How's a chemical engineer? Like, a good one or a bad one? Like, I'm sure there's evil vibes. Potentially.
Was this in New York?
It was in Vermont.
Okay, that makes sense, I guess. I just don't think you'd meet one here.
No, there aren't chemicals here.
No, and there aren't engineers.
You know, both my parents have PhDs in engineering, and a big part of my origin story was escaping the tyranny of engineering as essentially the religion of the household. Mm. My mom would say things like, well, just get an engineering degree, and then if you want, you can go to law school. Like, she was just like, well, it's just a good basis to have. Like, no matter what you end up doing. Like,
well, you want a background in that.
You want a background in engineering. But, and then she would even say things like, you know, engineering is not actually that lucrative, but it's just good to have as, like, an intellectual background. I was like, okay, so you want me to. She was like, yeah, you can, like, still, if you want to do humanities or whatever, like, do engineering and then go to business school. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not humanities.
Well, I like, there's a fundamental misunderstanding. Now, the listeners can't see this, but George just put humanities in quotes as well. They were very small air quotes down by the bottom of the microphone, but I saw that.
But you know, but it's like, I spent my whole life trying to escape that. And even still, like when you guys just now were like, what even is engineering? I was like, ignorant.
Wow.
It's like, so there's, it's like, there's an elitism to it. It's so deep seated where I'm like, well, it's the one thing that's important. I might not have chosen to do it because I'm useless.
Right. Wow.
It's but crazy. I think
podcasts
it's like
are
religion.
Podcasts are so important.
Yeah,
podcasts
does your mom and dad know that you have a podcast?
Yes.
And they love that.
They know about it, for sure.
I wish they could see where we are.
I know. Yeah. I do think, actually, that would impress my parents.
If
they were like, oh, it's an office that looks expensive.
There's like, there's guys what, downstairs
yeah, there's
who
guys
like,
downstairs.
Look at your ID.
Yeah, and guess what? If you're not on the list, you can't get
you're
in.
You're not getting in.
Yeah, and even if you are on
sometimes
the list,
even
it's like slightly misspelled.
Sometimes even if you
can't get in.
Oh, I had to do the whole, I think it's under Mary Beth situation.
Yeah, yeah.
My name's Mary Elizabeth.
Yes,
that's
the thing. Yeah.
It confuses people. It's confusing. But that was my parents' choice.
And their choice is valid.
And their choice is valid.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well,
Marybeth, you haven't been here in like so long. I mean, you were one of our sort of first batch of guests.
Yes. And I will say you've totally gone corporate, which I love.
Yes.
I
yeah, thank
fully
you.
Support. And also crazy that I'm the first person you've ever had on twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah,
we wanted
amazing.
It to be someone special.
Yeah. So I think that's cool. And I love that you haven't had me on the live show because I know you're waiting for your biggest show ever.
Yeah. Well,
at Carnegie Hall.
Right.
Carnegie Hall, my friends.
Some people could point out that we've in fact asked you multiple times if you're in town for one.
Yeah.
The answer has always been no, but...
But sure, make us the bad guys.
But sure.
Look, it's, hey, it's Friday somewhere.
It is true that we haven't had you on, for sure.
This is what I wanted to start, public beef.
Thank you.
No, I love public beef.
Thank you.
It's good to be back, though. I feel like, so last time we spoke, because we haven't spoken since last time.
Exactly. Like to keep everybody on
well.
I don't like to mix business and pleasure
no,
like that.
God, no.
And before that, we were friends, but since then, we have not spoken.
Yeah, now we have no friends.
When you do someone's podcast, it sort of changes your relationships.
Yeah.
But it was over Zoom, but we weren't even having cameras on, and it was like in the pandemic. I was in England.
It was very much in the pandemic.
Did we not have cameras on?
Well, we didn't film it.
Right. But I don't even think I don't remember having cameras on. I feel like we like couldn't have cameras on
or
something.
Oh, I don't remember
that.
So
it's just good to look at you and talk to you.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah,
it's almost
weird,
too three-dimensional,
you
know,
for all of our other guests, we had cameras on. But for you, we were like, no.
Yeah. We were like, I don't need to see that.
Okay. I see how it is, guys. Bully the bi girl. A bi girl walks into a podcast studio. Two gay guys behind the mics.
Can I tell you something? Sort of speaking about straight culture, you are doing one of the sexiest things a straight woman can do, and I know you don't identify as straight, which is wearing an oversized white button down.
Thank you. It is an oversized white button down, and thank you for saying that. It also has a slit up the back. So this is designed for women.
I mean, it's designed
for anyone, but it's not necessarily
sure.
Designed for the classic male silhouette.
Sure.
Well, I
I love that.
I don't want to gender the shirt.
No, of course.
Because I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, I think that's what's so funny about clothing is it'll be like, well, it's for everyone. But come on.
Let's just say they had a consumer in mind when they designed it. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever. I want to be respectful.
You know what I sometimes will do is I'll sometimes, because I really think there's such power in being a woman with an oversized white button down, that sometimes I will want to emulate that and purchase an oversized white button down.
Same.
But you're a man.
And the button down you have to get would be gigantic in order to be oversized.
But then even if it is oversized, you're not getting that same level of sexiness. Because
I think you are. I'd actually argue that
interesting.
You are.
I think you can, as a gay guy, you can maybe get it when you're also wearing like, short shorts.
You know what a gay guy can do?
Mm-hmm. What?
An oversized sweatshirt. An oversized button down, it's gonna look like risky business. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm ready to see it, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
How about you let me be the judge? Next time I come back, I want you both in oversized
button downs.
We should
do a fashion show of gay guys and you get to judge them.
Yes, perfect.
We've already coined the Complex Woman Awards, which are for women and then judged by gay men. We should do the
perfect.
Opposite. Yeah, so we decide who is the most
complex
woman.
Well, that makes
woman.
It so democratic.
Yeah.
We flip it.
We flip it.
Halfway through.
Halfway through.
We have an intermission.
We have an intermission. And then all the complex
Gaga.
Women. All, exactly.
Of course.
And then it's Troye Sivan, padam padam.
Yeah.
All the complex women judge the gay guys.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm excited. I'll be front row.
That sounds amazing.
With my scorecard.
You're like 6.5.
6.5 unless you impress me.
The shirt could have been bigger. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I want to see like playing with proportions and stuff too.
Of
so
course.
It's not going to be just based on how big the shirt is, although that will be a big, big part of it.
Big,
part
yes.
of the rubric, the scoring and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like to see in a gay guy as a fan?
As a fan, I just like to see a lust for life.
Yeah.
And I like to see effort.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In appearance. I think that's good for everyone. And then I also like to see that they think they're chill, but they're not.
Totally.
Oh,
that's classic.
Key.
Yeah.
That's key.
Yeah.
Do you think
we think we're chill, but aren't?
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. I think it's so funny to think I'm chill even for a moment, because the way that I get cranky at the slightest stuff is insane.
It's actually, you could say, not chill. It's the opposite
of
chill.
It's famously not chill.
It's the opposite. Wow, you are so spot on that gay guys all think they're chill, but they aren't.
I can't take credit for that, but I can't say who said it either.
Oh,
okay.
No.
So.
It was a famous person.
Yeah, but yeah.
Reese Witherspoon.
It was Caroline Polachek.
It was. No, I mean, I can't confirm.
Sure.
I can't confirm. I'll tell you off the record.
Okay, great. Wow.
Well, Mary Beth, are you feeling in the Friday spirit?
I would say that I am. I also am glad you acknowledge what time it is, because this is midnight as far as podcasting goes. In the podcasting space, anything after like 1 p.m. is midnight.
Midnight,
sure.
Yeah.
Are you a morning recording or recorder?
Yes.
Oh, see, we are not.
That the hard way. Not like 6 a.m.
Oh, because you're too tired.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
But I think it's just like we start to get a little loopy, which like there's a fine line of like how loopy is too loopy.
100%.
And I think we do our best work sort of between 10 and 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, the thing is, regardless of what your job is, even if it's just sending emails, your best work is done when you're drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And that's just sort of what it comes down to. And I personally can't drink coffee in the afternoon. You're disagreeing.
No, I'm listening. I'm active listening, and I'm seeing how it feels in my mind.
Do you feel like you can do good work without being in the process of drinking coffee?
Well, I think I have a different schedule than you, because I don't drink coffee until after I've gone to the gym. So often I don't drink. I wake up, walk the dog, go to the gym. And then by this time it's noon. I'm eating lunch. Still haven't had coffee.
I can't believe this.
And then at like 1 p.m. I have coffee.
That is nuts.
I mean, it doesn't feel good. Every day I'm like, when am I getting my coffee?
No wonder you're not chill. You're having caffeine in the afternoon, babe.
Yeah.
You're literally like,
it's 3 p.m. and I have this big cup.
Asleep in the morning, barely able to form a sentence, and then wired in the afternoon when everyone else is coming down from their coffee.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, I'm trying to fight the system every day, and it's just, I mean, I'm exhausted.
You're the counterculture.
Yeah.
Literally, counterculture coffee is what he drinks.
That's what I was going to say. I wanted to do a brand tie-in for one of my sponsors. Counterculture coffee. Counter the culture.
With coffee.
With coffee.
Counter the culture with coffee.
Exactly.
Wow.
How are you guys, are you guys doing shows lately? What's the vibe?
Oh, are we doing comedy talk?
Yeah. I was just wondering.
You know, I'm actually in my doing shows era.
Okay. Yeah. This is huge. I'm figuring out if I want to do it again or not.
Because now you're a film star.
Well,
but we can't talk about it.
A film star, which I am not able to talk about at this time. But it's also just, I think it's a dying art.
Can I tell you something? As your close friend, I think this is maybe something you don't recognize in yourself. Every single time we talk, you are essentially in the process of quitting.
Yeah, I love that.
It's literally that's like, part that of is who probably, I am. That's like your number one talking point. Yeah. As we get together and you're like, what are we even doing?
But what are we doing? When someone can answer that, I won't quit. I won't be in the process but of quitting. I'm loudly quitting. You know, quiet like, quitting, which I've never read about and I don't know what it means. I'm just using context clues.
Yeah,
this
you can
is loud quitting where I just talk about it incessantly.
You know, I would say in the beginning of our friendship, I was always like, oh my God, she's going to do it. And now I don't believe you.
Well, I'm obviously not going to. I was course, never going to do it. Of course, I'm not quitting stand-up. I just haven't been doing as many
shows. But I
think
it's sort of what motivates you is the excitement of like, this could be the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of people. There have been many people in my life that have been like, I'm quitting comedy. And then the next day they have like the biggest job ever.
Yeah.
And I've sort of been like, maybe
that's a secret.
Maybe that's a secret to be like, no, I'm not committed to this. So if I don't get a job like in the next week, I'm out.
Yeah. And then people
they're are tempting
like,
fate. We have to save them.
They're tempting fate.
Yeah.
But I think I just mean stand up specifically. Yeah. This is the live performance aspect.
Yes. Well, I'm of course coming out of an explosive show that you were not at.
I was not there. I was ill, and I take full responsibility.
Of course.
I really do.
Sure. I think with all the strikes, I actually feel like stand-up is back.
I agree. I think it's never been more back. I am literally about to, I want to start a monthly show. I'm booking LA dates. I am maybe even going to Chicago by myself outside of the pod and doing, I am ready to be back.
This is a lot to take in.
And
right
by
now.
The way, I've never believed in in-person embodied live performance more. I mean, of course we have to keep posting our Instagram reels.
Of course. I don't do. I abstain.
Yeah, we do and they flop.
They flop every time. Okay. But it's good because we're employing upwards of 15 people to shoot them.
Oh, you mean of the pod?
For the pod. You guys post reels.
Clips.
Oh, no, we can't.
We post. We do post. We dabble in that.
We don't post stand-up clips yet.
No, I mean, the thing
I don't
is,
know if I ever will.
You know, people say you have to. This is like, whatever. I'm actually just going to be confident about this and not do the whole thing of like, no one cares about this, but I'll say it anyway. I'm
also
just gonna...
you can cut this if you have, if
no.
you want to.
No, this is live. We're streaming live.
Oh, in that case.
We're streaming live. No, I am. So what people do, this is a peek behind the curtain. You know, what people do is they don't want to burn material on Instagram. So they're not going to post like their actual jokes that they spend years of their life writing. So what they do is they do crowd work and post clips of crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell us.
Yeah.
But then it's like,
preaching to the choir.
But then you are suddenly there's so much pressure to do videotape worthy crowd work every time.
Well, it's not always videotape worthy.
And people post
just because
anyway.
People are taping it doesn't mean it's videotape worthy.
That say that.
And I'll say it again if I have to. But I just think there's this pressure now, especially on newer comedians, to post.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think just get good at it first and then I don't know. I'm just like, I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of seeing it. I'm sick of seeing a one pixel resolution video with subtitles where I can't hear anything.
From an open mic.
And I can hear the only thing I can hear is the bartender shaking the ice in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm watching crowd work and there's no laughs.
Well, it's also the no laughs thing. It's like,
well,
I remember.
I'm kind of obsessed with, well, to be honest.
I remember back when.
Counterculture.
Yeah. Like when people
proudly indie, no one liked this.
No,
but
people,
I'm posting it.
When people are fully flopping and being like, "Whatever, I'm gonna post it." I'm like,
"Yeah,
no,
you are
not...
braver than anyone I've ever met."
It's
like,
not bravery. That's mental. Not what is it? Mental illness.
That's what's the word?
What's that therapy speak?
It's the new Gen Z Little Mermaid. What's the word? Mental illness.
God. Wait, I did not mean to make this an inside baseball.
No. I love it. I love it because it really is. It's the changing winds of time where it's like, I remember back when I used to apply to perform at comedy festivals, there was so much pressure on getting what's called a good tape. You want a good tape. And it's like 5 to 7 minutes of you doing a set and you sound good. The audience is clearly whatever. And you would spend months like taping many sets so you could find a good one. And now people are posting bad crowd work. Like,
I know.
It's just like how far we've come.
I know. But to me, that's signifying something, a bad shift.
Yeah.
But you think we're back and better than ever.
This is obviously not true, but I'm saying it as fact and still standing by it. Which
I
is
love that.
Amazing. I love to spread misinformation. And maybe I've talked about this on the main pod, but maybe we've just talked about it to each other, where I actually think now it's almost chic to not have like 55 million Instagram followers, because like the people that have it, like who are not like literally in TV and film, it's sort of like, well, you got there by weird like ways.
Yeah. Well, and inevitably all their content is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, okay, to your point about how, you know, videos are bad and clips are bad, that is why I have never believed in live performance more, because then you're like, you are scrolling through all this shit every day. You're literally putting rotten food into your mouth and then shitting shitting it out. And then finally it gets to be 7:30 p.m. and you're like, finally I can go to Union Hall.
Yeah. No,
see,
I
real
agree with you.
Comedy. Yeah.
But I feel like online, people who perform for the audience that's in the room are not there's no reward system for that.
It's honey, you don't have to tell us.
You're in the room or you're not. And I think that's, you know, what it should be.
I know,
but
well, it's not scalable is the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like, you know, I wish everyone the best as always.
It's so true.
But if you're contributing to the if you're contributing to the death of stand up, then like you're on a list. You're on my list.
Yeah. And you're making Mary Beth quit.
Yeah. You're on the list.
You're sort of pushing me out.
You're on the lineup, honey, and you're up next.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I feel, I guess here's what I will say. If you are offended by this, then you are the problem.
Totally.
Because people who are posting good clips of not crowd work are not going to be offended by this because we're not talking about them. But if you know you're posting crowd work where no one's laughing, this message is for you.
Yeah.
And I have no qualms with that, because if you feel like you fall into that, then you should think about it.
And that's the final word on that.
And thank you so much for listening, guys.
Should we do our first segment?
Yeah, I just have to say I loved Comedy Corner. That was so
fun.
Okay.
You know, Comedy Corner, I think we are both good about doing it only once every few episodes, and it was time.
Yeah, okay.
Because we needed to have a check-in about the comedy industry, especially now with everything going on.
What with everything going on?
I mean...
It's such a funny, think about the idea, like the identity of a comedy fan. Have you ever met a comedy fan?
Well,
there's nothing more foreign to me.
Well, weren't you one? Can't you remember?
Yes, I was. At some point, yes, I was.
I used to go to the Comedy Cellar with my boyfriend at the time, and I was obsessed with comedy.
I would listen to comedy albums we didn't have podcasts back then.
No, we didn't.
We had Maria.
We had records. They were vinyl.
They were vinyl. I mean,
jazz was a new art form.
I had to burn the tapes. And I said, you know, Maria Bamford would come on and I would say, press the record button now.
Onto your cassette.
I mean, people don't know. Now they have reels. Well, honey, you know it's not real?
Tell me.
Recorded comedy on your phone.
On your phone.
It's not how it's meant to be consumed.
No, it's...
As long as we don't give in, which I've been tempted, but I'm trying not to.
It's a uniquely comedy problem, I would say, because it's like if you're a musician, it's not like you're sharing clips of like...
But it's a music problem too. It's not as much like Reels, but like TikTok, it's like everyone's trying to make their songs go viral, but not even like, it's not the full song. It's like literally like a 30 second clip and they're like doing a silly dance, like, and sometimes it catches, sometimes it doesn't. Mm. And it's annoying.
I guess you could say musicians and comedians have it harder than anyone right now.
Yeah.
You don't see doctors.
Yeah, doctors are
posting.
Not
well, they
posting
are going viral.
They are
it's like,
going
stop.
Viral. Yeah.
Don't you have enough?
Do you know my dad was a doctor for like 40 years, never once went viral, had an amazing career.
That's so sad.
Had an amazing career.
Do you have to send money back? Or?
Yeah, I do. I'm paying for the mortgage right now. I mean, he got to chief of surgery, never once went viral. I'm just saying, you don't have to make
this
videos.
This is my point. Like, having a lot of social media doesn't mean you can
a
good doctor.
Totally.
Like,
that's it.
Sometimes having a lot means you're a bad doctor.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not focusing on treating patients.
Yeah, you're focused on the people viewing and not the heart surgery.
Right, that you're in the middle of doing in your live streaming. Anyway, it's an interesting shift right now.
I mean, I can't even... The thing is, doctors do live stream.
Well, because that's
crazy.
No, but it's just... It really is just the human condition, which is that you can be a doctor and still want to go viral. Like, that is still all you want.
I mean, it's one of the saddest things.
Yeah.
People need to practice. If you're listening to this and you're a doctor, practice some gratitude. You probably have two homes.
Practice some medicine.
practice
some medicine.
Practice some medicine. You work so hard to get to where you are. Believe in yourself, believe in your craft, and be happy with what you are. You don't need to be a multi-hyphenate. You don't need to be a doctor/musician/model. You can just be a doctor/surgeon.
One of the biggest mistakes in our culture was democratizing media. Remember the Time magazine cover where it was like the person of the year is you and it was a mirror? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
This was maybe like 2007.
That sounds like something from BoJack Horseman, though. They did a similar campaign.
Well, you know what I always say.
You are a secretariat.
Yeah, you know what I always say. Life imitates art.
So true. That's genius.
You have been saying that.
I've always said that. I sell merch.
And that's the name of your special.
That's the name of my special. And it's all on Instagram Reels and 10-second clips. And none of it is going viral, unfortunately.
Which is huge.
But literally that was the turning point. It's like, because people celebrated that. They said, oh, good, we democratized everything. Guess what? Not everything needs to be democratized.
I agree. I think there's a level of democratization, and then we should stop.
Correct.
Yeah.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Well, should we do our first segment?
Let's do it. Mary Beth, our first segment is called Straight Shooters, and in this segment, we gauge your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture by asking you a series of rapid-fire questions where you have to choose one thing or another thing, and the one rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions about how the game works, because if you do, we will quite literally injure ourselves with how angry we become.
Yeah, we'll ruin our singing voices, which we value more than...
I would never do that to you.
...lives.
Okay, Sam, take it away.
Okay, Mary Beth. I'm getting Starbucks or I'm giving no fucks?
Giving no fucks.
Mary Beth, having good morals or having bad IBS?
Having bad IBS.
Okay. Sydney Sweeney or Sweeney Todd?
Ooh.
I know this is wrong, but I'm saying Sydney Sweeney. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Saying we're pregnant or saying she's president?
She's president.
Okay. Make a wish foundation or shake a fist in frustration?
Ooh.
God, that's a really hard one. I would say Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh.
Okay, spreading misinformation about vaccines or passing legislation supporting those who lack financial means?
Passing legislation to support those who lack financial means.
Okay.
Okay, she's woke.
Okay, Four on the Floor, Crazy Eights, or 16 Candles?
16 Candles.
Wow.
Being a boss bitch or bleeding from a deadly itch?
Unfortunately, bleeding from a deadly itch, I think. Oh. You know? And I want to clarify that I didn't mean Sydney Sweeney is wrong, like, point blank. I just mean for the game, I think. That might be the straight answer.
Well, no, I actually think you chose right in our current celebrity youth-obsessed climate.
Okay.
I would say if someone said to me, save one of these things, I would erase Sweeney Todd from all of culture and keep Sydney Sweeney. And I know it's short-sighted, but it's how I feel
right
now.
We don't know what the effect would be.
Well, Sydney has more of a future where Sweeney Todd is toxic nostalgia. You are like, remember musicals? And it's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Let Sydney Sweeney do reality
too. It's like, let me guess. You want like,
and
women
I would watch
too.
That.
And I would
watch that. Because Reality One was fabulous.
That's what I hear.
It's really
so people
a great
really
watch.
Like this film.
It's
people love it. I've never seen people love a film more.
Because you can tell your parents to watch it. You can tell your lover to watch it. You can tell your niece. it's sort of cross-generational.
Wow. Interesting.
So for you, a good movie is a movie you can tell other people to watch, not something that you personally enjoy.
It appeals to multiple demographics.
I can personally endorse it because I enjoyed it, and that's why I say you should watch it. Mm. Just like I tell everyone to watch Baywatch in all earnestness. It's one of the best comedies to come out in the last 10 years.
Zac Efron one?
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, this is sort of the opposite of the reality movie where you're the only person I've ever heard say this in my entire life.
Well, I just want to say that people like to keep blockbuster movies down, but I'm not on my watch.
Oh, you will not hear that from us. We are all in on Baywatch.
We are pro monoculture. That's all we want.
I think you need to see Baywatch. It's not just Zac Efron. It's also The Rock.
The Rock.
Alexandra Daddario. Kelly Rohrbach. Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Kelly Rohrbach.
Wow. Thank you. I didn't
and
know her credit.
And John Bass.
Mary Beth, you're not allowed to promote films. We're in a strike.
Wait, Bob, can you bleep it?
We'll replace it with a book title.
That was just amongst friends.
Oh my God, we're already getting emails. Kick her out. Cancel her.
I didn't mean to cross the picket line.
Wow.
So I can't talk about, I actually did want to know this, and since you guys are strike
so
captains,
what,
you can't talk about movies other people were in?
No. Well, I think to be safe, we are pretending as though movies don't exist.
Okay, you can't address IP.
Except for reality.
Okay, except for the, because that's based on.
Because guess what? It transcends film and it's more of a book.
Well, it's based on a transcript.
It's based on a transcript, which then got turned into a play. You know this,
right? I did not know this.
Sam, the whole thing with reality, which was first a play called, I think This Is Not a Room was the play. It's literally word for word the transcript of when she was detained.
Well, she was
arrested,
questioned,
interrogated. And so literally the entire thing is word for word the transcript. And first it was a play, and then of course they were like, well, we can't have that flop actress be on screen. She's
right.
A theater actress.
Of course.
Get her out of there and actually give her the death penalty. And then they got Sydney Sweeney to do it.
We'll let this woman on stage.
This woman on stage.
Someone's head will roll for this.
But our heart goes out to her family.
Our heart goes out to her,
yeah,
of course.
Who were also all executed for
exactly.
her crimes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, but well, I don't want to spoil anything, but Reality Winner is the name of the character.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like double meaning vibes.
Well, of course.
Well, of
based
course.
On, you know, a transcript. I just love when they're clever like that.
Wow. So you could say it's actually not crossing the picket line because there were no writers.
Wow. Well, but there were
actors.
Sam.
Sorry, just pretend this was like literally 2 days ago.
That's a really good point.
Pretend this was 2 days ago when the actors weren't on strike.
That's so
and
true.
That would have been a really good point.
Well, actually, Sydney Sweeney gives such a naturalistic performance that you could argue it. She's not even acting.
She gets lost in the role.
She gets lost in the role. And actually, now that I think about it, it was all improvised.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. It was all improvised.
It was all improvised, and it just
so
happened. Yeah, she was so in character that her improvisation actually turned out to be the exact word for word transcript, and they figured
it
out after the fact.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
Talk about someone who can wear a big white shirt.
Oh yeah. And she does in the movie.
And she does in the movie.
She's wearing a white button down.
She's being questioned in like her little morning clothes.
Yeah.
Wait till you see it. It's great.
Yeah, we're going to see it.
Well, no, I'm seeing it right now.
I mean, it's under 2 hours, so what are you waiting for? It's actually under an hour and a half.
Oh, thank God.
You know, people always talk about the 90-minute movie. I'm open to less than 90 minutes.
You know what I love? 83.
Yeah, I love
that's
an 83.
That's rare. That's super rare.
You know what I was looking into the other day? A movie I've never seen. The movie They Came Together, the Michael Showalter movie with Amy Poehler and Paul Rudd, less than 90 minutes. I was like, I'm going to press play tonight.
And did you?
I'm going to do it tonight.
Right.
Well, I thought we were going to Singers tonight, so which is it?
Well, guess what? I have time for both because it's 83 minutes.
Woo! No, that was a fun movie. I like that
That's
movie.
What I hear.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so into Letterboxd right now.
Oh, and no, so you're Letterboxd pilled.
And so I'm seeing what people are saying about film.
Of course.
Here's what I'll say about Letterboxd. I just want to say one thing about Letterboxd. No one over there has a sense of humor.
Well, that's sort of what I didn't want to do it.
Let's say left the app.
It's too serious.
In fact, I would like to do a dramatic reading of something I saw today, and I promise this won't take
long. Does this count as acting?
Well, it's not.
So he's
scab.
First of all, I'm not in the guild.
Well, this is a play.
This is a play. Yeah, this is a
play.
This is a play. Okay, so I am, you know, I rewatched the movie Rat Race, which was a movie that I loved when I was in. However old I was when it came out. It came out in 2001. So I was probably around like 6 months old. And I remember loving this movie. I mean, when I tell you I watched it over and over again, I thought it was so fun. I mean, I'm a huge Whoopi Goldberg fan, of course. And so I watched it last summer thinking, I'm going to love this. turns out I didn't like it as an adult.
Okay. I hate when that happens.
That does happen though.
So I decided to post a cheeky review of it. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna be cheeky. And
are you anonymous on Letterboxd?
No, honey, it's my first and last name.
Okay.
So I posted a review and I said the following. I said, nostalgic for when I loved this movie as a kid. Now I'm too intelligent and sophisticated, a prison of my own making. All right?
Yes, I get it.
Would you like me to read the two comments under this review?
And so this is anyone can comment?
Yeah. First comment, if you call yourself intelligent and sophisticated, there's a 99% chance you're a shithead. Second comment, there's no way you just said that unironically.
And you're like, correct.
You're like, yeah, confirmed.
Well, this
doesn't
is,
that make
this
you
is,
worried?
There's this no room for internet. Irony on the internet. There's no room for satire.
Context
and no
is
room for
dead.
Irony.
I was doing satire.
I understand.
Yeah,
it was loud and clear.
Have these people not seen The Death of Stalin?
I mean, have they not seen Jojo Rabbit?
Rabbit.
My goodness, but maybe not.
Maybe
wait,
Dr. Strange
reply and say, "Have you not seen Jojo Rabbit? This is obviously satire."
Just have you not seen Jojo Rabbit?
Yeah, it really confused them.
I want to say, you know, since we're on this topic, I also have a very famous review of Dune where my review is, moms always think their gay son is the Messiah. Very funny review.
I love
review.
That.
I'm laughing.
That makes me want to watch it.
This is a comment on it. This review confirms it. Call Me By Your Name is a shit movie that ruined a generation of tasteless morons.
Whoa, okay, hold on.
So just because I'm gay...
So because I'm gay, I'm a moron.
By your name.
Wait.
I don't know what it means.
But they ruined a generation of tasteless morons. So that means we were tasteless morons, but we hadn't been ruined yet. But then Call Me By Your Name came along
right.
and ruined us.
Maybe we were going to grow and change. And then
into
because
not being tasteless morons.
Yeah.
I just think people online, this is why I'm like, I mean, I'm the first person to ever do this, but, you know, I'm taking a
You're taking a social media break.
Well, I still use Instagram, but I don't.
So this is like how you're quitting stand-up, and yet you have a show tomorrow.
But I don't use Twitter anymore. I will say that, and that's been huge for me. And then I haven't posted on TikTok in like a year, and I posted yesterday, and then I just like immediately made it private because I was like, this is too scary. It's too scary. It's too vulnerable.
Yeah. Honestly, like bring back the Facebook model. I want to be able to post to my friends and have it be fun and playful in a real way. I don't want to grow an audience. I don't want to like post to an audience. I don't want to hop on a trend.
I know.
I just want to post something silly for people who are fun.
And people who want to see it.
And people who want to see it. Yeah.
Someone recently explained to me that there is a TikTok trend called beige flags, and it is when something is not a red flag but it is a beige flag. And I was like, are you just talking about a personality trait? It's like, oh, beige flag, he wears his pants slightly lower than normal. Like it's
wait,
beige
means,
flag
it means it's
he
a gets, good thing or a bad thing
it means it's like, a like ever so slightly negative thing.
But
like
wouldn't
it's
that be a light red flag or like
so thank you for saying that. Beige is not light red.
Beige is like surrender.
It would be a pink flag.
Right, pink flag.
I mean, I guess I guess beige is sort of on that spectrum, sort of flesh colored.
Sure.
In a way. Yeah, if you have red undertones,
right,
like Sam and I.
Which
white.
Not everyone.
Yeah, not everyone.
Not
so
everyone.
It's exclusionary
in that
way.
Some people are Greek and
exactly.
they don't have that.
And I have more of an olive
you do.
Tone. So what's my olive flag? I don't see that. You're not going to see that on TikTok. Why? Because they're xenophobic.
So true, actually.
Really, wow. Really true. Thank you
I don't
that.
Know. Beige
actually,
flag.
They are.
I'm sorry. I feel like you sound like a boomer. I'm just over this shit.
Yeah, I know.
No, everyone. It's tough because no matter what, we all sound like boomers all the time now. And
well, you know what?
We are a generation of tasteless morons.
Yes. After Call Me By Your Name, there's no going back.
There's no go. We've been ruined.
I mean, Letterboxd should be something you should just keep a journal. Like, it should be for you. I get like wanting to like reflect on a movie and be like,
totally.
I saw this. I'm thinking about this. But then it's like, why is it social media?
Well, I downloaded it because I thought, how fun. Like, I get to write a little like silly thing after each movie. Like, it's basically like, I don't know, Twitter, but for movies.
Film people are the most humorless
of all
people.
It's insane. It's, I mean, talk about a strike. When are cinephiles going to go on strike? Because I've heard enough from them.
They need to take a long, hard look at themselves.
They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done with them. Let me enjoy what I enjoy. Also, I just want to say, like, what movie critics don't, and I don't have the same interests. So they need to stop imposing their views on me because it's not going to be the same. What you see is not what I see sometimes. So leave my movies alone, but I won't name them because we're on strike.
Because we're on strike and we have to not acknowledge that movies exist.
Yes.
Except if it's
on
Letterboxd.
And I think we've done a really good job of that, I think. This is probably the most movies on a single episode we've ever mentioned.
Wait, should we get into the topic?
I think that would be absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. So I had a long, hard think about what to do for my return to the podcast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about today the idea, the cultural movement of having home friends.
Home friends. Actually, I do want to read your list of your
okay,
short list.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really smart.
It's fun when, you know, you get a little peek behind the curtain. So these are the topics that Mary Beth sent me a couple of days ago. Home friends, which ended up being the winner. Loyalty. Deodorant, podcasts, and cuddling.
Yes. Deodorant was definitely up there for me because I think some people need to hear that. But
that deodorant is straight or that deodorant is necessary?
Both.
Totally. So
but
you're
wearing
saying,
it doesn't mean you're straight.
I see. So you're so saying it's straight and everyone should conform to that. You're sort of like, straight people have made some good points and deodorant is one of them.
Yes. Do you know and I wouldn't say that about much. But
can I tell you something? Recently, I have noticed that I have many gay friends who want to smell as like a sex thing and then impose that on other people. And I'm like, I don't want to be sex negative, but I am not part of this.
No, don't make me complicit.
No, you're being sex negative.
I don't want to smell you. I knew you would.
No, this is insane. I feel
it is not insane, Sam. When I enter a room, I should not have to smell someone who smells terrible because they then have a kink that they want to have
I
sex
think
later.
The general, like, to actually be, like, notably smelly is, like, the highest level of that kink. Like, most people that are, like into a little musk aren't, like, stinky, stinky, stanky.
I don't know, but
I don't know. I have a pretty
line.
Sensitive nose.
Me too. I have sensitive, all my senses are sensitive.
Well, all
sensitive
your senses
ears.
Are heightened. You're sort of like the daredevil.
Yeah,
of
you
comedy.
Were hit by something at a young age.
I really was. And it's my cross to bear.
Yeah.
But I bear it every day.
Of course.
But if I walk in a room and on the train, I can actually smell if someone who wasn't wearing deodorant has just been in the space like recently. That happened to me just when I was coming here. And that's tough. It's like, it's not.
I actually also have an unusually sensitive nose to the point where it's like frustrating because I'll often be like, spend 10 minutes being like, what smells weird? What smells weird in the house? And Matthew will be like, shut up.
Yeah.
Nothing smells weird.
It's really hard.
Yeah. And I think I'm like kind of annoyed. I feel like there's like a Twitter trend of being like,
is there?
Yeah. It'll be like this is the rain on me for this. I'm literally quoting someone. We might have to get rid of this. This is the hit song for gays that don't wear deodorant. Or like, there's
sure,
like
sure,
a lot
sure,
of
sure,
like,
sure.
And I've even seen like that type of tweet where it's like, gays, like if your thing is smell, don't do it around me. And it's sort of like sometimes it feels like a straw man villain.
I'm telling you, I can name people. They're not straw men.
They're out
and some
there.
Of them have been on the pod.
And that's, think about that for 5 seconds. You're okay. Doing a podcast in a confined space and
yeah. So deodorant, loyalty is interesting. I mean, we have done cheating as a straight topic before.
I saw that too.
Which so is very like, but it is very true that sort of the black and white relationship dynamics of a straight couple.
Mm-hmm. And friends. Friendship.
Yeah.
Which is gay, inherently gay.
Of course.
So we would have to explain that as well. I think friendship is inherently gay. Has anyone done
Can
that
I
on
tell
the
you
podcast?
Something? Okay, I'm going to take a risk right now.
What?
One time I told a story on this podcast that was pretty explosive. And it was that I had gone to a gay club with 4 straight presenting people. And what ended up happening is that the men made out with each other and the women made out with each other.
Correct.
Do you remember this? And then I didn't make out with anyone, and I'm the gay one.
Right.
I would like to come out as saying that was you and your boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I didn't know about this. Wait,
and I protected
that?
Your identity until now.
When
it was
that?
That night. It was that night that we went to $3 Bill.
Okay. So almost exactly a year ago.
And it was like Edward and his British friend, and they're like, yeah, this is what we do in boys' school. And then
it's
you,
gay.
And then another person that I won't mention because I have not gotten her consent.
We haven't cleared
but
it with
her.
But
then everyone
yet.
Else was being gay, and I was like, I'm sorry. Like, who am I in this situation?
Well, and this was when George was in his Costanza era.
I was being George Costanza.
Well, look, I'll quote the great Wayne Gretzky. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So
I know.
Maybe you should have been.
Maybe
I
should have made out with your boyfriend.
Where was your romantic partner that night?
That's true. He wasn't there. But I was more thinking like, okay, he wasn't there. I can make out with. I mean, it's a gay bar. It's made
of course,
for me.
Yeah.
But again, I'm also being very biphobic right now because it is also made for you.
I know. But look, hey, it was a twist you never saw coming.
It was a twist I never saw coming. I mean, to be with, you know, with people that were, I mean, it was, you know, it was a straight sex couple.
Of course.
a heterosexual couple
event.
But I think it just proves my point that friendship is gay. Yes. And it should be considered as such and categorized
exactly.
as such.
And the fact that Edward and his friend, their friendship was so gay that it ended up resulting in a makeout session.
Exactly, as all male friendships should.
Yeah,
that's true. I bet that would relieve some pressure for a lot of them.
By the way, you know how it was a trend for so long for women to make out like for a for the male gaze? I think we're overdue for the new trend to be the opposite, for men to make out and then women to be like, hubba hubba.
I mean, and we're close. We are. Yeah. Yeah. We're doing, it's happening.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now it's happening and it's amazing.
But they're not doing it for gay guys' pleasure. They're doing it
for straight guys. Well, sometimes they are. You actually don't know that.
Well, I'm a gay guy and I don't see it very often.
Oh, so you're not getting, but if you see it, you're getting, it's causing you pleasure.
If I were
you
to
think
see
they're
it.
Not the intent, they're not doing it for you.
No, I think. Oh, I mean, they're not like they aren't doing it in front of me personally.
Oh, I see. Well, you got to get in the right rooms, babe.
Yeah, come to $3 bill.
That's where it all goes down. I was there last week.
I mean, is that where the big night happened? Great.
Yes, and it will be known henceforth as
the big,
big night.
Okay, so all right, so let's talk home friends. Walk us through. What about how you define home friends, why they're straight, what your experience is with home friends? Let's hear it.
Okay, so home friends is this idea where you have, you know, as an adult, let's say you have groups of friends from all walks of life. You have friends from your first job, you have friends from college, you have friends from whatever your hobbies are, like mm-hmm. how our hobby is comedy. And then you have this group, this elusive group of friends
yes.
who doesn't really interact with any of those other groups. They exist fully as a separate thing. And they are your longest standing friends. They probably know the most about you. And they're your friends from home, ultimately. Mm. So this could be either friends from your neighborhood. It could be people you went to middle school with, people you went to elementary school with, high school. Any of those really like formative years where you all went to different cities for college. Maybe some of you were in the same city, but not the same school. Mm. In the rare case you were in the same school, I think that's amazing because your home friends can also be your college friends. But it's this idea that they are sort of always there. And then when you go visit them or you're all in a group, you fall right back into those patterns that you had when you made the friends.
Yeah.
Totally.
So this is a genius topic. It is obviously so straight. I feel I can't, like, yes, I have like some people from my past that I am still in communication with, but it is so few. And because the whole time we knew each other, I was closeted.
Exactly. I mean, that's like, what makes it straight.
They do not know me the best.
Like, people who came out, how old were you when you came out?
I came out in college.
Okay. Same, essentially.
Yeah. I think one of my home friends is a gay man and he came out in high school. So that was great because, you know, we got to know him as, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like his personality changed at all. It was just like, oh, cool. Now this thing is like out and it's fabulous.
This thing is
out. Now this thing is out and it's fabulous.
We let it out of its cage.
He said, I'm gay. And you said, honey, that's fabulous.
I said, the thing is out.
In the yearbook room, I said, that's fabulous.
That's fabulous.
All I can say, one word, and I hate to label things, as you know, but I'm going to label
you
it
also
fabulous.
Have a lesbian high school friend that I know personally.
Of course, yeah. So, and that was later, but I would agree. I would also say that her personality has not changed.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's a gift. But I feel like it's this fun idea, and a lot of my friends that I've made in adulthood are like, who are these people? Who are these people that wear Reformation dresses and you're going to their weddings all the time and their names are things like Rachel and Emily. And I'm like, they're my home friends. Mm. Yeah. There's nothing else to say, really.
Yeah. I'm honestly like a little jealous of the idea of home friends.
I am too. I am too, because I think that it is a tether to your past that is not your blood family.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I don't really have that. Like, yeah. I am not, I really am not in touch with my high school friends.
I have, like, literally one. And, like, some that I have seen randomly, mm-hmm. but no one that's, like, there is just, like, we will never spend enough time together now.
To catch up with.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's also, like, there's a lot to, like, when I was closeted, I was very closeted.
Totally.
Like, there was lot that I was like not addressing.
I was closeted in more ways than one, because on the one hand, I was obviously not out as gay. But on the other hand, I was also not out as having anything to say to sort of do a makeshift straight shooter. Like yeah. there was a way in which I was deeply uninteresting because I was afraid of actually expressing anything going on inside in case it would like show my true personality.
Yeah.
I was fear-based.
Yes.
I was unsexual. I had no taste in anything because yeah. it was like, well, I'm not going to show anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was sort of like, well, there's a way in which you're waiting for your life to begin because you're like, okay, yeah. when it's safe, not to say that I grew up in some violent environment, but like no. when I personally feel safe, whatever mm-hmm. that means for me, then I will develop a personality.
Same. I also think this is an interesting, potentially generational thing because like now yes. people do come out in high school mm-hmm. and it's like,
yeah. Well, now the straight people are bullied. I read that in the Atlantic.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
Sister.
But I think also with the, you know, one of the reasons that my home friends and there's, I can't remember if there's 9 or 10 of us, but we still have a group chat. But when we went to college, we started a private Facebook group where we would post on it about what we were wow. up to and our goings on. And sometimes we would video chat on our MacBooks.
Wow.
And
wow.
that was very fun to keep in touch. But I feel like now we have had a group chat that's been going on since, you know, maybe like 10 years or however long ago. I don't know. It's been a long time.
1 year.
More than 10 even. Yeah. yeah. And so it's so nice. And it's just like, I don't know. It just feels there's like a comfort there. And then when we're all at a wedding together, like we had a wedding in San Francisco this past I don't know what month it is, but I think it was in April. Mm. And it was just so nice to be back together. And it's like, you know, the gang's all here. And then when one person isn't there, obviously you talk about that person. Totally. If one person misses a gathering in the home friends group, that person is being spoken about at length.
In a negative, positive, nuanced.
You had to be there.
I can't say.
You're not
I really
part
can't
of this
say.
Community.
If you're not, yeah, it's sort of
it's
like
if you
it's
know,
a
you know.
Friends thing. Yeah, so yeah. you sort of have to be there. But.
Yeah, if only yeah. you would come out of the closet a little earlier, maybe you could talk about this.
Wow. Well, it's interesting that you're queering the notion of home friends, which is a straight topic, by having gay ones.
Exactly. And by coming out as bisexual at 28. Because I was in high school making out with my friends for attention.
Sure.
Which that was
female
definitely
friends?
Part of it. Yeah. yeah, of course. And then in college, sort of like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. We'll see. And then as a, you know, in my 20s, I was like, I don't know. I think I'm just straight, but I like hooking up with girls. It's like a fun thing. And then eventually I was like, oh, no, I'm in love with a woman. So these things happen.
And your home friends accepted you for that.
They
despite
did.
Despite against all odds.
Against all odds. And it was quite the change. Mm-hmm. I had to send out a newsletter to yeah. everyone. Paper.
You had to post on the private Facebook group.
I did.
Is the Facebook group still active?
Here's what's so tragic and why if I ever meet Mark Zuckerberg, I'll do physical violence. Because the Facebook groups used to have discussion boards where you could like make a new discussion topic and then everyone could comment and respond. And then one day they were just gone. So this was just like our oral history of college just was completely ripped from us.
The way big tech platforms own everything we've ever said, done, or written.
But then they
and
just
they
can
take it away.
It.
Exactly.
It
they
was
can delete
so
it.
Heartbreaking. We had so much funny shit on there, like people writing drunk and it was all misspelled. It was really funny, trust me. And now we'll just never have that. So we have the memories and the group is no longer.
You know, I created a funny Tumblr when I was in college, and it was one of those Tumblrs that would have, like, when you go to the dining hall and then a GIF.
Totally.
When you are
classic.
Doing whatever and then a GIF. And this was peak of when this was, like, this was comedy.
Yeah. yeah.
And it went a little viral.
Wait, it wasn't What Should We Call Me?
It was, like, it was right after What Should We Call
okay.
Me. Remember when everyone had, like, what should we call
yeah.
swim team?
Yeah.
What should we call whatever?
Yeah. Intern
so
life.
Yeah. So I had one that was for, like, the co-op scene at my university. So it was all like, when you miss your kitchen clean, when you like overcook the shrimp, like when you go to the Wednesday party, but they're out of wine. Like, and it was all that. Yep. And it was like passed around in a way that I was like, it was the first taste of like attention that I got for doing something sort of funny. And I was like, oh. Yeah,
this feels
I'm going to have a podcast one day.
Yeah, that was when you knew, planted the seed.
And, but my point is, it's gone. I don't know. I certainly.
Oh,
don't
actually,
have...
but it's still there. I think I tried. I wish my Tumblrs were gone. I think
I tried once to go to the URL and I couldn't find it.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm sure all of your blog, like yeah. the links would be
also
dead
the links are dead. The GIFs don't work.
Yeah, Tumblr. Yeah, I do miss those days. I was a Tumblr girl in college as well, and I miss those times. But along those same lines, my high school friends and I, my home friends, you could say, we did a parody of the OC called the FC because we're from Fairfield County. Uh-huh. And we did two episodes of it and we filmed it in my house and it was so funny and fun. And then I remember we posted on some OC message boards and people in Canada just loved it. And that was when I was like, oh, wait, this is kind of cool. Like, yeah. I wish we had stuck with it in a way, but then I'm like, then I would be a YouTuber right now, and that would be its own sort of hell.
Of course.
But I feel like I wish that I took a little bit more advantage of that, like, birth of the internet sort of timing.
Oh, I think about that a lot. Yeah. Although it is true that when you look at the OG YouTubers now and what they're up to, it is even darker than you
could expect. It's sad. It's actually very scary.
It's really scary. And it's not their fault. You're not meant to live that lifestyle.
My Tumblr, my joke Tumblr that was a spark was that I had a friend who I was in classes with him we were this one semester in every single class together, and he often wore the same outfit multiple days in a row. So I started a fashion blog called What Gary Wore Today. And I would take a pic. We were very close friends. And
okay,
I would like pick
so it wasn't
take,
bullying.
It wasn't bullying. I would take a picture of him and like make like write like fashion blog language to be like, today he's pairing a gray pant with a
that
gray.
That is so funny.
And
have I told you about the George Awards?
I don't think you have.
Okay, you're gonna die.
Wait, I'm scared. So excited.
This is before we moved back to Greece. So I was in New Jersey. I must have been in seventh grade. I might have been in like sixth grade. I decided out of nowhere that I was gonna create the George Awards, and there were gonna be like 27 categories that were like cutest guy, like coolest couple, like most athletic, just like literally things that I made up. One of them was like best shorty, and it was like people that were short, like physically.
It was a different time.
Well, and everyone was growing, so
and
I just
decided, I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna print all these ballots and everyone's gonna vote for the George Awards.
Oh, you people printed. I thought you decided them.
No, I
as well, it's a democracy, it's Greece for crying
out
loud.
Did I
democratization of the George Awards?
This is actually a good point. I don't remember. I do think there was a voting element because I remember we had a printer that I was like printing so many pages because it was like for the whole grade.
Yeah, that's
and my
crazy.
Mom was like, why are you printing so many pages? And I had to lie because I knew she would not approve what I was doing. Anyway, the point is, I literally just did that, and then one of the categories was fully cutest guy, and in my mind I was like, well, it's not gay, like I'm the producer here, like there has to be a cutest guy and a hottest girl.
Of
I mean,
course.
This is middle school.
Well, it's also like kind of funny for you to be like,
yes,
the George
exactly.
Award, like,
but then
you're
it's
a
like,
guy,
but then it's like I'm choosing which five guys are the hottest guys.
And then everyone has to vote.
And then everyone has to vote. Also, I put myself in it. I've just remembered.
Did you win?
No.
George didn't win the George Award for cutest guy?
Wait, it's actually crazy because I hadn't thought about this until now, but like the rest of them were the most popular guys. And then I was like, well, I'll be
you
the fifth.
Have to.
Like, I
have to put you miss myself. 100% of shots. You take.
So it was just like all these guys that played lacrosse and then me. And then aww. I was like, all right, vote.
If people were smart, they would have voted for you. Suck up to the producer.
I know, truly.
It's crazy. Who would have known you would have grown up to be a really judgy gay guy?
I know. I mean, it really is. Sometimes you do see deep into a child's psyche.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just funny that, like, did the school catch wind of it? Did you get to
give
them
out? Well, that's why I'm, like, struggling with the story. I can't remember how it ended. I don't think I got in trouble, but I do think the vibe was very much like, so that happened. Anyway, like everyone was just
there's like,
like
a big announcement, like just for the future, yeah. No personal awards.
It was very, yeah, it was very much like, yikes. All right, well, let's sort of protect.
We've never had to do this
dear
before.
Dear parents,
well, I also
we've been made aware of an incident in the seventh grade in which one student has decided
no one you had
to award other students.
It was not like a normal
based on attractiveness and other things.
And other qualities.
It was not mean spirited. Like most of them were like
no,
sort of
it was
positive.
Fast.
We would especially like to apologize to the shorties.
I mean, the poor shorties. And actually, you know what? I think at some point my mom did catch wind of it and was mad at me on one thing. I had nominated this guy, Eduardo, for best shorty. And my mom was like, his mom told me he's insecure about his height. And you put him in best shorty?
But if you're going to be a shorty, be the best.
I know.
Yeah, it's the best shorty.
And he actually
five.
Was the best shorty.
He made top five.
He was really cute. I wonder what he's doing now.
I wonder if he's still short.
Can we get eyes on him?
Where are the private Facebook groups?
Seriously.
Wow.
Oh my God, the George Awards. I hope you bring those back.
I should
one
bring
day.
Them back.
Yeah.
That's actually a good idea for a segment at a live show.
That's a great idea, the George Awards.
Wow.
And what the categories are, only you know.
Yeah, the categories are all me. It's like hottest, like hottest, most fit.
George, most intellectual.
Smartest, yeah.
Smartest, hottest, tallest.
Wow. When it comes to home friends, was there anyone that like didn't make the cut but was kind of close?
Ooh.
We had a few people that would be invited to our gatherings like on the weekends in high school, but didn't necessarily... They weren't necessarily in the Facebook group. Mm. And then we have had one friend leave the group chat, and that was on his own volition. And we're all still, we have our individual relationships with him, also gay. We actually had two gay friends come out senior year. And I feel like that, like, I've talked about this before, but it sort of skewed my perception when I went to college and then now subsequently moved to New York. Cause I'm like, oh, well, everyone comes out when they're 18. Mm-hmm. That's like, everyone comes out when they're 18. So everybody's been, you know, out for, and, but that's just so not the case.
Next
like,
thing you know, you're coming out.
I know. I'm like, wait, what happened? But it's been so interesting to like recalibrate that because I guess, yeah, people don't do that.
Yeah. Do you have any friends in your of your home friend circle that like at some point their lives just became too different? It's like someone who had a kid like in their mid-20s or someone who got married really early or even someone who just like had a career that is so unlike everyone else's and suddenly like works for the military or something.
Well, something that's really important to know about home friends is that you should not know what they do for work. Mm. You should be lifelong friends with them. But if anybody put a gun to your head and said, what does Rachel do for work? You could maybe name the company. And that's about it.
You say she's George's assistant and the government pays for her health insurance.
She's a federally funded assistant and that's it. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. But what's nice about my group of home friends is that everybody has jobs. I don't know what they are necessarily. Yeah. One is a teacher.
Oh, okay.
So amazing.
God, really I love simple. When someone is a teacher so you can know what that means.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's like, it's so nice. It's so digestible. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it almost feels like you're doing charity. You're like, well, my friend's a teacher.
Well, yeah, you could say I give back because my friend is a teacher. And this is someone I've known for, you know, longer than
we
I haven't
known
them.
Yeah,
yeah. We were in a Facebook group. Yeah, we were in a Facebook group together. So I would say, luckily, no one has really, like, taken a sharp left turn.
Yeah.
Everybody, well, no, I shouldn't say everybody. Some of them are married. Our one friend just had a baby. And then we have, you know, I'm in a long-term relationship. We have another one that's similar. And then two that are single. So I will say bringing,
a really great mix.
Bringing partners into the group, we're a very welcoming group.
Okay, interesting.
And
I doubt it for some reason.
That was going to be my next question.
I definitely doubt it.
Yeah.
Well, you can ask my home friends. I'll send you their info.
Seem a little
their
biased.
Contact info.
I would rather ask your long-term partner.
Maybe, you know what, but he's made a great impression on the group. He hasn't met everyone, though, because he lives in England.
Of course.
So
sure.
He hasn't been to the weddings and stuff yet, but we're, you know, we're hopeful.
Yeah. I mean, I do think introducing people to a British actor is unfair. It's like, okay, everyone else is like, this is Jared, I guess.
Yeah,
sorry, guys. Love you, though. But yeah, when he can't come to a wedding because he's filming, I'm like, well, you know, he's filming, so.
They're like, she made him up.
Yeah.
She made him
I'm
up.
Like, no, here he is.
He's British and he's an actor.
They're like, well, Jared just booked the big account. You're like, shut up, Rachel.
I'm also like, what does that mean? Yeah. And also, what is his job? Wait, don't tell me. Knowing a partner's job is beyond.
Part of growing up is realizing that it's actually not interesting to ask someone what they do.
Or how's work.
Or how
they don't want to
talk
about
it. We've had this debate
it.
Before. I want it on a card, just so I'm not like. And by the way, chemical engineers suck. And they're like, well, I'm a chemical engineer.
I actually wouldn't mind.
And you do say that all the time.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird.
I wouldn't mind people having a business card that just has like three sentences about them. That's like, these are the basics. Let's not. We don't have to address them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't talk about this.
Yeah, I think that would be huge.
I have some home. So mine's also confusing. Like, I moved in the middle of high school, and then when I was in college early on, my parents moved away. Like, I was in high school in Virginia, then went to UVA, and then my parents moved to Chicago.
Yeah.
And so I, like, never went home, and I was only there for, like, 2 years, so I was already, like, a transplant.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, but there's some, like, that moved to New York, and I did hang out with them like one or two times, and it was kind of fun. And I was like, you know, if we could get this going again.
Yeah.
But we were in very different spaces, and I was still very self-conscious about being gay now and sort of being like, how do I square this? Where it's like, you knew me as straight and just sort of goofy.
Totally.
And now I'm gay and goofy.
And how will people take
how
that?
How people make
we
sense of
know.
That? And they were like, it was that thing where they were totally being... Like, one of them has a gay brother, and they were being so normal and so nice. And I was sort of like, they probably think it's weird that I'm gay now. And I could not get over it.
That makes me sad.
I've now switched over from thinking the gay thing matters to just being like, I don't want anyone to know I'm a comedian.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it is pretty embarrassing.
It is shocking.
And yet here we are.
And yet here we are.
And we do it every day.
Every
day we wake up and be
day.
Funny. It's so hard.
On Instagram reels, on TikTok.
On Twitter of some of us. On,
well, I would say
on Letterboxd,
I'm not funny on
Letterboxd. On Letterboxd, yeah.
It's hard when home friends' parents move. Mm-hmm. So you you don't go home for Christmas and see them, or at the holidays, I should say. You don't see them because their parents live
Thank you for being
elsewhere. Yeah, you're welcome. And so then it's really like you have to make even more of an effort. But it's kind of nice to see if you make the effort, and we have. But I feel like, you know, if anyone listening is wanting to reignite a home friendship, especially if you're gay, because we need more gay people in the home friend space,
that's
I would
so
say.
True.
I think you should do it.
And actually, I would like to say that's a good way to screen people. It's like if there are randomly any people I went to high school with that listen to this podcast and we're not in touch, please get in touch.
Freaked
I mean,
out.
I would love to know who you are.
Yeah.
who in my Greek high school is listening to this podcast but not being in touch with me and is just like, I'm just a fan.
You don't know.
I really don't know. I want you to get in touch. I want you to get in touch. And to the high school friends, there are two girlies that are in New York, and I always am like, we're gonna get drinks, we're gonna get drinks. I am making a verbal promise that I will do that by the end of 2023.
Whoa. I love that for you.
Thank you.
One of my home friends will be at our Minneapolis show.
Wow.
Yeah. She lives in Minneapolis now.
I love
that. That's big. That's big.
This is exciting. This is the start of something new, I think.
And that's the power of a white woman in an oversized white shirt.
Yeah, it is.
She brings people together.
Look at all the power I wield in this
You
room.
Actually do wield a lot of power.
You do.
There's something very convincing about what you're telling
me. You are a very convincing person.
Thank you. I try to use it only for good, though, not bad.
Well.
I said I try.
Yeah.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcast.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Well, should we do
our final segment?
Any final words on home friends?
Shout out to my home friends.
Shout out, of
Love
course.
Love you so much, you guys. They know all my secrets.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? There's no one I'd rather be in San Francisco at a wedding with.
And I just want to say, you know, whenever I've met your home friends, I love them.
They're
like
salt of the earth.
I would say some of them I'm like I'll actively like respond to their Twitter or their Instagram stories, actively like try to sort of like develop a rapport.
Well, I'm lucky because they're all great. And they have no interest in becoming anything even adjacent to the industry. So it's just also nice to talk to them about like other things because they ask me questions, but it's not like all about that. And they don't know half the people that, you know.
It's a very good reminder that the people we think of as like titans of the industry are actually randos.
They are. And they always will be.
Yeah, which is really empowering, actually.
And that's the last thing I'll say on that.
Totally.
Wow. Well, our final segment is called Shoutouts. And in this segment, we pay homage to the grand straight tradition of the radio shoutout and just shout out to anything that we are enjoying. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always tough when we record two episodes in a row, but go for it, George.
What's up, everyone out there? And a shout out to my home cooks especially. I want to give a shout out to taking a can of seltzer and rather than just popping it open and putting it in your disgusting mouth, taking a glass of ice, cutting a lime or a lemon into a fourth, squeezing the lemon in, and then pouring the seltzer into that. Suddenly, you are literally in the audience of the US Open. Suddenly, you are in a country club, and suddenly you have upwards of 15 servants around you that are catering to your every need because you are being glamorous and you are being classy in an almost problematic way, I would say. And so you have the power within yourself to create that kind of environment at home without even having to leave the house for the price of essentially a fourth of a lime, which does not cost that much last time I checked. There are deals on Fresh Direct today. So get out there, buy yourself some limes and lemons, and make yourself a seltzer like you're the queen that you are.
Woo! Okay. I have one that's, you know, it's on the nose for me, but all hey, right. we're reaching. What's up, everyone who has a happy Friday feeling? I want to give a huge shout out to summer heat. I have not felt that summer feeling, and I have been looking for it the way one looks for, I don't know, the Christmas spirit even. I have been wanting, and I've been going to beaches, pools, the woods, streams, rivers. If it's a body of water, I've been there. And I've been like, why do I still feel this aching want? And it's because it hasn't been hot enough. Now it is very hot and I am feeling fulfilled. And even though I'm in New York City, surrounded by pavement and working in a podcast studio, I feel so summery. I feel like I'm on vacation and I realize that vacation isn't going somewhere with a beautiful beach. It's being too hot. And I feel full. Thank you, sun. Thank you, earth. Thank you, summer. XOXO, woo! Sam.
Wow.
Wait, those are like so good. Wait, do I have to do one? I'm scared. Yeah. Wait, I'm scared.
You literally have to just think of it on the spot.
But cut this. Cut me thinking about
it.
Yeah,
no, we'll cut anything that betrays any weakness on your part.
Thank you so much. Wait, I don't know what to do. It's so stressful.
Don't worry.
No, it's easy.
No, it's stressful. No, it is.
There's no pressure. Just think of whatever.
I'm scared. I'm in my head now.
Wait, I'm literally going to look through our text to see what was the last thing you had raved about.
Raved about?
Yeah, like, so I'm going to give you ideas.
You're raving to him on text?
I don't know that I am. I'm a raving lunatic. I'm like,
woo!
I'm like bitching about everyone we know, if that's what you mean.
Yes, there is more negativity here than I remember.
All right, I have one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm scared. You just start talking?
Yeah.
And a little improv exercise.
There's going to be like music under you. It's going to sound fun.
Yeah. It's
okay. Sound fun. I'm scared. I'm nervous.
I've never seen you this scared to do something.
I just get so nervous.
You like start singing beautifully.
Oh my God. All right, ready? You just say shout out to the listeners?
Well, whatever.
Literally, however you
imagine,
want to do
it. I always say imagine it's 2001 and you're in TRL shouting out to like your squad. You know what I mean? Imagine you're shouting out to your home friends and like bring that energy.
Okay.
This is so funny.
This is crazy.
This has never happened before,
by the way.
We're giving all of it in.
Yeah, we have to.
You can't.
It's so funny.
Okay.
This is going on reels.
Hey listeners, happy Friday. Today I'd like to give a shout out to Ballet Flats. That's right, Ballet Flats are back. You may have seen it in the New York Times style section. You may have seen it on Jennifer Lawrence's feet. You may have heard about it on this very podcast. Ballet Flats are back and they're better than ever. You can buy them new, you can buy them secondhand. All you have to do is buy them. 2007 never looked so good.
Oh.
Have a great weekend, everyone, and drive safe.
Woo!
Wow.
Beautiful.
That was really good.
I love that.
That was also very in the spirit of the podcast because we're always bringing things back from 2007.
We really are. Okay. Yeah. You know, I saw someone wearing like gladiator sandals the other day, and I was like, this is a new world.
We're back.
Well, and yes, it's the old world.
I think Ballet Flats really is the final frontier because you're like, everything else. You know, yes, you can bring back low-rise jeans, you can bring back the thong peeking out, whatever, but ballet flats are so aggressively uncool that when those are back, like, we've lost it.
All bets are off.
All bets are
off. Well, sometimes your shoes just have too much support, and you think to yourself, What if I walked on the ground?
Literally.
Essentially.
Like, you need to feel your feet on the ground. Yeah. People aren't grounded anymore. That's
no,
why.
They're not.
It's very
grounded.
Spiritual.
Feel the light on your lips.
Wait, sing it more. Wait.
Is it feel the light on your...
Feel the rain on your skin.
Feel the rain on your skin.
No but one else can feel it for you.
She does say feel the light on your...
No, feel the words on your lips.
Feel the words on your lips.
No one else can feel it for you.
Only you can let it in.
Only you can let it in.
No one else. No one else.
Oh, no. Can speak the words on your lips.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out to Natasha Bedingfield.
She's still relevant.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to that one scene in Easy A where she is always singing.
Pocketful of Sunshine.
Pocketful of Sunshine.
But I will say Natasha Bedingfield's best song is These Words.
What's that one?
How does that one go?
I won't say.
These words are small, I know.
Is that
well, it's
it?
Sort of
no,
similar,
that's
but it's not that. Oh.
But it's These Hands.
But I recommend listening to These Words because I think her other songs are obviously amazing.
Of
but
course.
To me, that was the first one that was on like VH1 on Saturday mornings, like the video. And I was like, who is this Natasha Bedingfield girl? And then she had these other hits as well. But we can't forget where they started.
Mm.
Yeah.
And by the way, as we're heading out, I just want to say, I want to make a big announcement. I have decided to get into Tori Amos.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
When did you, was this like in the
this
last
week.
5 minutes?
This
Ooh,
week.
You bring okay. this up right when we're finishing?
Yeah, and I don't know enough to say anything yet, but I am going to put in the work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All Huge. Right. Well, with that, happy Friday to all.
Happy
even
Friday.
Even if it's Tuesday.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing
Thanks
it.
For doing it.
Bye.
See you later.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have, hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.